Welcome to Voices of Better Medicine as we talk to the experts at Northwestern Medicine about health issues and questions that matter to you. Hello, I'm Robin Rock. Joining me today, it's Dr. Pardick, a neurologist at Northwestern Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Pardick. Good to have you along with us today.
Thanks so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
So let's talk a little bit about headaches today. And I would say that they affect pretty much nearly everyone at some point in their life. So I want to know, though, if you could kind of walk me through what happens to your brain during a headache.
Absolutely. So headaches are extremely common. There was a recent publication from the Journal of Headache and Pain that estimated the global incidence of active headache disorder. It's around half, about 50% of the population, though it's important to keep in mind that the level of day-to-day impact is going to vary wildly depending on the frequency and the nature of an individual's headache attacks. We're still learning about what happens in the brain during a headache, but the more we learn about headache disorders, the more we seem to find that they're very complex events involving more than just a single pain pathway or a single area of the brain. Our best physiologic understanding of a headache disorder comes from research into migraine, which is probably the best understood at this point. Migraine research suggests that there's an underlying dysfunction of deep brain structures like the hypothalamus, which leads to dysfunction of the brain stem, where pain signaling pathways converge, and there can later be dysfunction in the cerebral cortex involving things like visual processing and cognition and language.
I have been a migraine patient myself for over 30 years. This is such an interesting thing. It's been a learning experience for me. I'm still learning about migraine, and I'm wondering, how do tension, cluster, and migraine headaches, how do those differ?
Sure. Very common question. There's numerous types of headache disorders, including primary and secondary headache disorders. Primary disorders are those that are not associated with another disease process, and secondary headaches are those associated with or caused by another disease, such as headache attributed to a venous clot in the head, a stroke, or a headache associated with low cerebrospinal fluid pressure, for examples. The four primary headache types, going from the International Classification of Headache Disorders, Revision 3, which is the most recent classification system that we use as headache specialists and neurologists, are migraine, tension-type headache, trigeminal autonomic headaches, also called trigeminal autonomic cephalalgias. These are things like cluster headache, and the other primary headache disorders, which are a group of disorders that just don't fit well into those other three classifications. Migraine's the most common type of headache disorder for patients to actually bring up during a healthcare visit, and I think that's due to its typically moderate to severe intensity and its significant impact on function. It's a sensory processing disorder. We suspect it has both a genetic basis and an environmental basis. Attacks are more than just a headache. They can actually involve multiple phases, which we name a prodrome, aura, headache, and postdrome. Tension headache is often milder in intensity than migraine, but can still lead to significant functional impairment, especially when it's long-lasting or unremitting, such as a chronic tension headache. Pain often involves the whole head and is sometimes reported as a band-like sensation by patients. The next major primary headache disorder classification is the trigeminal autonomic headaches. This includes cluster headache, which accounts for about 90% of these disorders, this group of disorders. Cluster headache often presents with recurrent, brief, but severe headache attacks that center around one eye and can involve profound tearing, redness, and congestion on the affected side of the head. Patients are often in very excruciating pain and become extremely restless. This disorder is much less common than the other headache disorders that I've mentioned. It's estimated to affect around 0.1% of adults.
Well, if you're just now joining us, you're joining us for Voices of Better Medicine as we talk to the experts at Northwestern Medicine about health issues and questions that matter to you. I'm just wondering if we could talk for a moment about chronic headaches and what could cause chronic headaches. And when is it time to just make an appointment and see a doctor?
So chronic headaches are also very common and likely underreported. They typically occur in patients that have had episodic headache disorders in the past that have either spontaneously worsened or perhaps been undertreated. In a simplified sense, the headache attacks start to beget more headache attacks. The nervous system becomes more and more hypersensitized over time, and when headaches become chronic, they can actually become more challenging to treat in both an acute sense when you're using a rescue medication to try to stop a headache attack, and in a preventative sense when we try to use interventions to reduce the number or intensity of headache attacks.
If there was one key takeaway that you wanted listeners to know from our conversation today, what would that be?
It would be, please don't be afraid to discuss headaches with your primary care provider or a healthcare practitioner. It's very challenging to categorize headache disorders, even for healthcare experts. It can be challenging to screen for secondary headache disorders as well. So the more information you can provide your healthcare provider, the more details, the more likely we are to pick up on secondary causes of headache, things that could need a different kind of intervention than just symptomatic management, and the more likely you are to receive an accurate diagnosis and hopefully treat your headaches earlier, reducing the risk of converting into a chronic headache disorder.
Dr. Pardik, thank you for your time. Great information. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for having me, and a pleasure.